Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. It's such an honor to be in your presence again, to freely preach and hear your word. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand as we enter the word. We enter it with the reverence that it deserves. We're asking for mercy. Lord, fresh unction and anointing upon my ears and upon my heart and my ears, so that I will speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. And I pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to follow these words wherever they are released and heard in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, to be faithful as I deliver the word. Father, that I will do it indeed with precision. Redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life agreed and said, Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory. We brought the fact, the thought actually comes from verse 1. It says, you know, elders, and we shared with you us that everybody should become an elder over time. It just means somebody who is developed in the spirit, you know. And of course, when you become an elder, you will be able to pastor, you'll be able to teach, you'll be able to do all of those things, you know. I learned very early in my Christian life that this question of, oh, you're called to be a teacher, you're called to be a prophet, is really it's not wrong. It's just that you don't get hung up on that. You should get hung up on growth. If you grow spiritually, then when the time comes, you will be mature enough and God will anoint you with all these different anointings. Amen. Don't seek the anointing, seek growth. Seek to be like Jesus and you'll get all the anointings. It's not true that some people are called to be pastors and this one's called to be, you know, and that's all they can ever be. No. It is true that initially, you know, if you have a natural disposition in a particular area, God will anoint it. So you have people who some are naturally disposed to be more like pastors and some are naturally disposed like teachers. So God anoints that. But don't get stuck in that. Praise the Lord. You're supposed to grow. Okay. And then we also brought the fact that as we grow, a time will come and should come in our Christian life where Christ will appear in us. We brought out the fact from 1 John chapter 3 says, now are we the children of God, but it doth not yet appear. See, we're children of God, but he hasn't yet appeared in us. And people look at you and look at and the next person who isn't a Christian, there's really not too much difference. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the hour is coming and now is where they will see you, and what they see, they will see Jesus. In your thoughts, they will see him in your words, they will see him in your actions, they will see him in your temperament, and they will see him in his wisdom. You know, and they will see him in his power. Then he would have appeared in you. Then people will say, ah, you know, this is different. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what happened with Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus goes to Jesus and said, you're different. That's a paraphrase, but that's what they should be saying about us. They will come to you and say, yeah, you know, you're different. Praise the Lord. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I've been meditating on it in recent times. The Holy Spirit has been bringing it to my mind. Isaiah 45, where it says, you know, they will come and they will say, surely God is in you. He's appeared. How did he know? He's seen God. He's seen God in you. You know, but that hasn't happened yet, as it should. You know, of course, all of us have some degree of manifestation of Christ in us. Our behavior has changed. Those of us who used to smoke don't smoke anymore. We don't do all things. So there has been some change. But it needs to be just more than a moral change. It needs to be a supernatural change. Hallelujah. That is very distinct from what people in other religions have. And that's the uniqueness of Christianity. Praise the Lord. Where Christ in you, the Bible says, this is the mystery of the gospel, the hope of glory. So when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory. Also mentioned that the crown, a crown is given to a king. So when you grow spiritually, you come to a place in your spiritual life where you become a king. Now you don't get that overnight. None of us starts as kings. Now we are all kings potentially. You know, the Bible says a servant. You know, so long as he's a servant, it differs. You know, a child, even though he's an heir, he differs nothing from a servant. Even though you're a king, for instance, you know, William has a young son now, George. I'm talking about in England now. You know, Prince William. He has a young son. You know, they gave birth to some time ago. You know, the boy is just starting school. You know, he's a prince. You know, he's a future king of England potential. But he's only not king now. Grandma is still queen. Praise the Lord. Great grandma, thank you. You know, and grandpa is not even king yet. And daddy is. So he has a long way to go. But with time, one day he'll become king. Now, it's the same thing with us. You're a child of God. Nobody takes that away from you. But you have to grow spiritually. As you grow spiritually, then a time will come in your Christian life where you go from being a servant to becoming a prince, from prince to becoming a king. And it's only kings that can wear the crown of glory. The crown of glory, in another way of understanding, is having the glory of God rest permanently on you. So it's called a crown. That's what Jesus inherited at the age of 30. Because when he was a baby in Bethlehem, he was a king. But he hadn't yet grown to be king. But when he now grew to the age of 30, and the spirit of without measure, Bible says, came and abode on him. That's when he was crowned. And Nathanael saw that when he told him, he said, before I called you, I saw you under the fig tree. He said, you are the king of Israel. So he understood that. Is this clear? So the same thing with us. And that should be your spiritual ambition. Praise the Lord. Don't worry about these Nigerian chieftaincy titles. They're not really worth it. Go for the real chieftaincy title. Hallelujah. You know, all that is man trying to fill a void inside. You know, after they make all the money, or steal it, whichever. I'm not going to go there this morning. Praise the Lord. The next thing they start looking for is titles. Because man is trying to fill a void of something God has put inside him. That desire to be a king is something God has put inside, because you are made in the image and the likeness of God, and God is a king. And Jesus is King of Kings. So every one of us is a king potentially. Sadly, not everyone is called kings. We should. Because we're not taught. We're not taught these things, that this is how it is. Yes, you're a king. You know, and that desire, man was made. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Watch this. And let them have dominion. What do kings have? Dominion. That's what kings have. Do you understand? That's why every man in him has a innate desire to dominate. To dominate his body, his thoughts, his environment, and conquer it. So that, you know, he can rule. That's what he was made to. That's how he was designed. That's the original master plan. It hasn't changed. And because you're a sinner, because of Adam's sin, and all of us inherited the sin nature, we are severely handicapped to be able to achieve that. So when we don't have it spiritually, we now look for it. You know, we'll try and make money, and then, you know, we'll try and get a title in England. You know, right, become a sir. You know, if the queen gives you an honorary, you know, title, you know, it's man's desire to try and be what God originally planned him to be. But he cannot be if he doesn't become born again. He cannot be if he doesn't become like Jesus. That's the only way you can really fulfill that inner desire. So, when the chief shepherd shall appear in you, then you will receive a crown of glory. And that's God's plan for your life. Don't throw it away. You know, well, the Holy Spirit just brought it to me. You remember Revelation 22. It says, God has a plan for everybody. I don't know how many people know that. He said that if you take away from the book, words of this book, how do you do that? You know, you can't go to the Bible and take an eraser and remove it. How do you take away from the words of this life? Every part of the Bible you reject, you just took it away from your life. Revelation 22:19. That's how you take it away. You can't take it. You can't remove anything from Genesis. You can't remove anything from the Bible. But you remove it from your own life when you reject it and you don't believe it. Now, depending on how much of it you remove, it will not determine whether your name will be removed from the book of life. If you remove that essential part of accepting Jesus Christ, then you've just removed your name from the book of life. God didn't remove you. You removed yourself by rejecting the word of God. Are you listening to me? Hey, you remove the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You just remove your place from the holy city. You reject perfection. You just remove your place from the things that are written about you inside the word. It's all your responsibility. I didn't plan to say that, but you know. So don't remove anything. So you can get everything. Don't remove anything. If you remove anything from the words of those, say God will take your part away. But you see, you are the one who removed it by not accepting the truth of God's word. You know, this thing brings me back to this fundamental. This thing is a recurring decimal. It keeps coming back. This honesty thing. You read the Bible and then you say, no, I don't accept that one. Who are you? Accept the whole thing. How many people know God is smarter than you are? If you are not sure, look up. And everybody wants to doubt whether God is smarter than you or not, whether you and God are equals, just look up. You remember that you're a very small person. Praise the Lord. And then look in. Look at your body, this fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, those two things just make you fear God. Hence, he uses that word fearfully. Fearfully means the thing now, wow, DNA, red blood cells, white blood cells, a masterpiece of engineering. The brain with 86 billion neurons and over a trillion interconnecting points, dendrites and synapses, thank you. You're nowhere near God. The thing is, you know, this our brain is like a piece of porridge. Small, soft tissue, but it's full of electrical connections. It is so complex that the best artificial intelligence engineers, you know, when they look at the brain, they stand in awe. Even those who don't know God. The best robots we've been able to build don't even begin to come close. Not even close. We haven't even got close to the cockroach. Yes, we haven't even got close to the cockroach. We're talking about man. Give the Lord a clap offering. God is great, so that is not a flattery. It's a fact. It's not flattery. You're not just cajoling God. Ah, God, you are great. God, you are great. God is really great. Oh. All right. Now, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore. I think you would when you get to know who he is. Humble yourselves, therefore. Hallelujah. Under the mighty hand of God. That he might exalt you. That he may exalt you when? In due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth upon you. Now, I need to spend some time on this. This issue of humility. I jumped verse 5. How did I do that? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you. Don't you never say all means elder and younger. There's nobody who is not supposed to submit. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. It means that there are times when the elder has to be subject to the younger. I didn't write the Bible. Don't get angry with me. Hello. Yes. It is not all the time that it will be the younger elder, younger who will submit to the elder. The elder too sometimes has to submit to the younger. Sometimes the husband has to submit to his wife. Sometimes the husband has to, the father has to submit to his children. You know who we submit to? God. So sometimes if it is a child that is right according to the word of God, then the husband and the mother and everybody submits. This amen is the most important amen you have ever said in your life. You know why? When you don't, if you do not learn this humility thing, you're not going anywhere. And this is the issue, the real issue of man, the crux of the matter, is that most of us are not humble. One to another. That's why he wrote it. He said, yea. He said, likewise. You know, he said with the elders. In verse 1, he says, I who also am an elder. Then he gave the elders their own. He said, feed the flock of God. And don't start lording it over them. Remember? But he didn't stop there. He now said, likewise. Just like I've told the elders not to be bossy and as lords over God's heritage. He said, in the same way, I'm not telling you younger ones to, you know, be subject unto the elder. Then he didn't stop there. He now said, all of you. Humility isn't just for the people who are under, it's also for those who think they are above. I use the word think. Amen. You know who's above? God. You know, we all have positions and responsibilities. God has arranged things in life, and we don't take that away. But at the end of the day, the person who is on top of all of us is God. Exactly. You know, and this truth comes straight from the Godhead. You see, you cannot understand humility if you do not understand that God is a Trinity. You know, it's one of the greatest religious deceptions that God is just one person. God is not one person. He cannot be. Some say, how is that be? I said, that's the way God is. He said, how can it be? Before you were, that's how God is. Let us make man in our image. God never introduced himself as a single person. He always introduced himself as three persons. That's why there is submission. That's why there is unity. You can't have unity with one person. You can't have submission with one person. I don't know how many of you have read your Bibles that well. You have to understand that all the persons of the Godhead are subject one to another. God is not asking us to do what he doesn't do himself. And one of the things that gets God very angry is, if I, God, who made you, am humble, who are you, a created being, to be proud? It was Lucifer's Waterloo. Yeah, God is humble. All the three persons of the Godhead. Give me First Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, and even then the sons too will be subject unto the Father. Give me that scripture. I don't remember the exact verse. It's around, it's First Corinthians 15 that I'm 100% sure of. It's about verse, somebody find it for me quickly. Yes. Verse 28. Go to verse 27. Let's get the sense. 26. Aha. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Don't your neighbor say death is an enemy. Stop treating it like a friend. Hello. What do you do with an enemy? You destroy it. You resist it. So how do you say death? You know, you just, you know, flirt with it and talk, you know, and accept it and say, well, all of us are going. No. He says it's an enemy. So you have to dominate it. I don't want to go back to that, you know. I spoke about that extensively, I think, on Wednesday. You know, to dominate death doesn't mean you won't die or you cannot die. It just means that you and God decide where, when, and how you die. That's domination. Not this one that will just come in and kick you anyhow. The day you're going to die or a week before you die, you should know. Then you and God plan it. Have a big party. Praise the Lord. Oh, there are people who do that. That's not kind of pie in the sky. There are guys who've done that. On this, they live on the same earth like you. And they didn't have two heads. Praise the Lord. Had big party, called their children and their grandchildren, told everybody what they were going to do. I don't know if you heard of Gordon Lindsay. Great man of God. You know how he died? He was worshiping God in church on Sunday like that. That's how he decided to go. Praise the Lord. He had his hands up like that and just died. Let's talk about going in style. And he did, I think the day or two before, he called all his, he had an estate on a lake, called his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his wife, told them everything about the books and the ministry and everything he was going to do. They had a big party. And then on Sunday, next verse. And he hath put all things under his feet. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he saith, all things are put under him, this is very important. It is manifest, or it is clear, that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, all things are under Jesus, but the Father is not under Jesus. He's talking about the persons of the Godhead here. Next verse, 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself. Who do you think you are? Be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Give the Lord a clap offering. So submission did not start with you. It's intrinsic in the Godhead. Hence, the scripture also tells us. It says, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. If you look at the original Greek, it says he will not speak from himself. But whatsoever I hear shall hear, that shall he speak. In other words, he's only speaking what he has consulted about. I say this every Tuesday. You need to understand it. You know, when you're praying in tongues, God the Lord Jesus is praying in consultation. I would say consultation. With God the Holy Spirit. Through you, because she's giving you utterance of the consultation to God the Father. There is no one man show in this thing. So you become a aberration in the Godhead. And I don't know if you can receive it, receive it. Do you know that the body of Christ is simply an extension of the Godhead? I know it's difficult for you to, it's very difficult for people to accept that. But if words mean anything, and if the scriptures mean anything, that's what the mystery of godliness is. God just took himself and extended himself. That's why it says, I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So he took a part of himself and made copies or clones. That exactly like the original. And he called them man. And when you live less than God, God is disappointed. That's what he made you to be. He made you to be like himself. Same wisdom, same glory, same power. That's why he called you a king. That's why he called you a lord. That's why he's giving you his... there's nothing he has that he hasn't given you. He gave his very life. He gave you his wisdom. Then he says, in fact, that's not even good enough. Come and sit on my throne. It don't get better than that. And then you come with this false humility and say, no, I don't want that. Oh, I don't believe that. You know, we are just dust. How can we share the glory of God? You don't know who you are. You're not dust. you are made in the image and likeness of God, and then you are clothed with a dust body, but you are not dust. Stop saying that. You're not. That's not humility. It's foolishness. It's ignorance gone berserk. You are not dust. It's my body that's dust. I'm not dust. I'm not my body. My body is just a clothing I wear. And one day I'm going to transform this dust. Hallelujah. The real me isn't dust. The real me is spirit. You know, people say all of that, you know, we're just dust. And they think they're being humble. They're being stupid. They're ignorant. Not even the unbeliever is dust. Because he's still made in the image and likeness of God. It's just that he hasn't removed the sin nature and he's not growing to his potential. But that God potential, you even in fallen man, you still see the potential. It's fallen man that went to the moon. Is that God part inside us that fallen, even fallen, and he's fallen, says, one day I'm going to fly. And the Wright brothers in 1904 invented the aeroplane. There is a God thing inside man that makes him want to dominate, that makes him want to conquer, that makes him want to excel. Not of talk of you, blood washed. Zoe filled, Holy Ghost anointed, and then start telling me you are dust. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory to God. Amen. So be a subject one to another. So you see the Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is subject to the Father and to the Son. The Son is subject to the Father. Guess what? The Father too is subject to the other two. The same thing he told us. Yes, elder, younger be subject to the elder. Jesus is subject to the Father. It's just a hierarchy that they chose to institute before they made man and made any other thing. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in practice, everybody's subject to one another. Even the Father, the Bible says, he has magnified his word above his name. It was God the Father that Moses said, you won't do that too. God the Father. Jehovah. Do you know he has a name? His name is Jehovah. Unbelievers call him God. We call him Father. Anytime I hear people talk, they say, the Almighty. You know, I'm not saying God is the Almighty. But you know, when God is your Father, I don't, you know, it's just like, you know, my own natural children don't use my title for me. They don't call me pastor. So they call me daddy. You know, it's outsiders who say pastor. Amen. It's outsiders that say, you know, of course we know God is Almighty. Don't misunderstand. I'm not taking away from that. But when you get to know God, your first reaction is Father. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Because I'm a born again child of God. I wasn't adopted. I was born. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That's who you are. You're truly a child of God. I blew your mind. You're as much a child of God as Jesus is. If you can receive it, receive it. Amen. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. And your number is somewhere there. Are you listening to me? Okay. So, the three persons of the Godhead are subject to one another. Even the Father. God very angry. You know, and rightly so. They provoked him 10 times. And God told Moses, say, move out of the way. And he cruel enough for me, say. I said it in our language, you know, to get, you know, your attention. Move out of the way. Let me. I will destroy these people as one man. And I will raise a great nation out of you. Even when God was angry, he was not sinning. Because he knew the covenant was for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses was a seed of Abraham. He could raise another nation through Moses. And these rebellious, silly guys, get rid of them. I started all over again. He was ready to do it all. Press the reset button. May God not get angry with you. That's why you should not provoke God. Moses said, ha! Hey, Walade. I said, Lord, Lord, you know these people. You know how they are. He said, but they are still your people. He said, think about this. If you do this, what would the Egyptians say? They would say, because you couldn't do, you brought them to the wilderness to kill them. It's not a wrong idea, but Father, it won't be the best. Don't let's do this. The Bible says God repented. That's called submission. Give the Lord a clap offering. Not the Son or not the Holy Ghost. Father. He didn't even submit to the Son. He submitted to Moses. So that rests the case about humility and submission. If God can submit, who are you? See, if you, that's why you should have consultation. That's why one man show is not a good thing. A good leader consults, you know, and throws out ideas. This is what we want to do. Then people bring us suggestions. If somebody has the best suggestion, you submit to it. You're not in a popularity contest. If somebody says, Pastor, let's look at it this way. I say, oh yeah, you know, that's better than what I thought. Let's do it your way. Then you get the best. It's pride. I must do it my way. No. Find out what's the best. So we must learn. Let's get back to 1 Peter. Am I talking to anybody here? 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. The word clothed is very suggestive. It's descriptive. Of course, it's symbolic. You know, you know. But what it really means is that when people look at you, what they should see is humility. It's your outward ring. You know, it is. It's an attitude. It oozes out of you. Just like pride does. It's the same thing. The Bible says there are six things, yea, seven, that God hates. Watch this. A proud look. He hasn't said a word. You know why? He's wearing pride. So you can see it. Even before he opens his mouth. And then you see another person, he's wearing humility. And you can see it even before he opens his mouth. Efiniwa. Thank you, Pastor Gwega. It's a Yoruba proverb. This character is like smoke. You can't hide it. You know, it just seeps out. So what God says, wear humility. When people see you, this is an approachable person. You know when some people enter a place? Some people like everybody cowering to them. And when you don't do it, like, hey man, oh, Baba pride. He looked at Mordecai. This one. Every other person was bowing. Mordecai, because of... And Mordecai wasn't just being rebellious, because God said, you have no other God before me. You're just a man. Why should I be bowing, you know, to you? You know? He was so angry. He said, I won't destroy Mordecai alone. I will destroy all the people. That was when he wrote his own death sentence. You know why? It would have been easy to kill Mordecai alone. He could have just... He was so powerful at that time. He could have just... Without even talking to the king, he could have just told them, go and get Mordecai and kill him. But his pride blinded him. Like it always does. And led to his own destruction. The minute he said he would kill all the Jews, he just killed himself. You cannot kill the seed of Abraham. It's not possible. You're going to have to deal with the God of Abraham. I think they should tell that to people, the Iranians and all the Arabs and all the people who have been trying to do it for the last 50 years. You know, I mean, by now they should have learned your lesson. You know, there was a speech Netanyahu gave. You know, I think I texted some of the pastors. You know, he said, people have been saying, and he talked about Haman. He talked about Persia. He talked about all the different empires, the Babylonians, Adolf Hitler. He said, there's so many who have wanted to kill the Jews. Where are they today? He said, no, we are still here. Give the Lord a clap offering. And kill the Jews. Covenant. God has a covenant with their fathers. They are beloved, not for their sakes. Don't get it wrong. They are not angels. Neither are you, incidentally. You know. You know. So, but God has a covenant with their fathers. He's going to look after them. And incidentally, God has a covenant with you too. If you get under it, through that same Jewish line. Amen. Your own salvation is of the Jews. The only way you two can get that kind of immunity under God is to become a Jew. Through Jesus Christ. The whole thing is all locked up. Amen. Hating Jews, hating yourself. So, be clothed with humility. I didn't hear you. Now he tells you the reason, and that's what I've been talking about in the last few minutes. For God resisted the proud. God hates pride. Period. You know why? God is not proud. So when he sees a created being trying to be proud, instantly it triggers something inside God, and God is going to resist him and finish him off. He always reminds him of Lucifer. Look at how much trouble Satan has caused. So, once he sees it, he begins to resist it. And how does he do it? Next verse gives us a hint. And he gives grace to the humble. It means that he withdraws grace from the proud. It's not explicit, it's implicit. What is grace? It's favor that gives life. So, once grace reduces, the measure of life reduces. Once the measure of life reduces, corruption sets in. Darkness sets in. Because life gives light. Are you listening to me? So once God sees a proud attitude, he begins to withdraw grace. And that's why I've come to see that this whole Christian walk and life is all has as its foundation honesty and humility. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning, is the foundation of wisdom. Once you start getting cocky and arrogant, God just starts withdrawing his grace. And his light and his power and his understanding, and things stop working the way they used to work. Are you listening to me? And that's why the thing you should guard most jealously is that attitude of honesty and that attitude of humility. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. So always task yourself. That's why you should judge yourself daily. It's in one of the prayers we gave us. Not only at communion. Some people always wait until communion before they judge themselves. You don't have to wait until communion. You should judge yourself daily. What's my attitude? What's this? Quickly correct it. Amen. Maintain that humble attitude, that humility, and exercise it deliberately. The Lord Jesus, thank you, he taught us, he gave us little things we can do to exercise ourselves in humility. One is fasting, because fasting is, not eating when you feel like eating, which is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. That's what humility is. So that's one. It says, I humble my soul with fasting. But even beyond that, it says when you go to a place, and there's a big seat, there's a grand seat in a small place. It's a deliberate exercise. Even though you can be in that big place, you say, you go and sit in the small place. He says, so that when the person comes, and say, look at God. He says, so that you will not have worship. So God actually wanted you to be exalted, but he didn't want you to exalt yourself. He said, but the Pharisees, he says, they like long garments. you know, and greetings in the marketplace. I thought Jesus was in Nigeria. You know, it's so typical. You know, they wear long robes and greetings in the marketplace. You can just imagine them. And everybody say, Rabbi, Rabbi, oh Baba, Jekwai Baba, Rankadidi. You know, God hates it. Doesn't like pride. You know, he said, Jesus said, don't be like them. He said, to be like not like the Pharisees. When they go to the temple, the chief seats in the synagogue. You know, that's where they want to go and sit down. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, you go to it. He said, then when they come, if they know that you are for this place, they will promote you. And that's exactly the same thing you say here in Peter. Go back to 1 Peter. Say, for God resisted the proud. Don't your neighbors, I don't want God to resist me. So I'm not going to allow pride in my heart. Amen. Somebody said, you know, I just got a fax from heaven, or a tweet, if you like. You know, this thing is not written to unbelievers. It's written to Christians. So it means Christians can be proud. See, pride is a function of your will, and your will is still free. You can choose to be proud, or you can choose to be humble. It's a question of choice. It's important you understand that. Are you listening to me? Next verse, verse 6. Oh my God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There are two important statements there. One is exalt, the other one is time. And that is usually the problem. That is usually the problem. See, God's intention, he said, the thoughts I have towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. Do you understand? To bring you to an experience. I want to exalt you. That's my plan. But my way is humility. And then you will not get exalted tomorrow. It will take time. I want to exalt you, but it's going to take me time to exalt you. You know why? If I exalt you before time, it will destroy you. So if you don't develop my character, you know, I can't exalt you. Because if I put you up there, you're coming down. And I don't want you to come down. So until that work inside you is done, I will not exalt you. I'm paraphrasing. But this is the thought. This is spirit. You know, that's what God is trying to tell us. I will exalt you in due time. So now, by reason of time, you ought to be teacher. So use that time to grow spiritually. And when you get to that place where you should grow, I will exalt you. But you keep wandering around in the wilderness. You keep going round and round in circles. You are not growing and you want to be exalted. You see, we are going to have a problem here. And it's so common today. Everybody wants to be. In fact, you know, when I look at this silly, you know, this funny church, you know, when we first got born again, you know, there was really nothing. So we were like kind of pioneers. I'm talking about, you know, local churches and all of that. And within the last 30 years, you know, scripture passage is over 30 now, you know, so much corruption has come in. You know, everybody now wants to become a pastor overnight. Before you know it, what is your printed card? You say, how are you? My name is Apostle. Who made you Apostle? You know? Because of this wrong, you know, and it's become anemic. It's endemic is the word. You know, it's spread throughout the church. You know, because people now make people pastors because of money. You know, you have money, make you a pastor. You know, and then, you know, you have a title, and then you have a big man, you know, and, you know, oh, it took Pastor Luby 30 years. No, me, I'm going to do it in two. New day, thank you. New day. A short walk with the Lord. That's how you can take legitimate scriptures and twist it. Handling the word. Thank you, Pastor Goiga. Handling the word of God deceitfully. Jesus was talking about the end time, not your exaltation. And he was shortening the days because the days are evil. Not so that they can exalt you. May God have mercy on us. You know, there's so much corruption inside the church, you know, because people want to be exalted. Verse 7, we'll close with that. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, how do you do this? How do you humble yourself? Yeah, I've told you in principle, but I now want to make it a little bit more specific, you know, in terms of spiritual instruction. You know, how do you humble yourself? How do you cast all your care upon him? How do you do that practically? I got something I wrote in my notes here that the Lord gave me, you know, and I didn't even get to where I wanted to get today, but here, the Lord gave this to me, and I want to share it with you. You know, when you have issues, challenges that bring anxiety, that bring a problem, you can, or you should, humble yourself. But what does that mean? Cast your care upon him. Well, how do you do that practically? Pray. When you pray, you are telling God, I am submitting to you. I am trusting your mercy and grace to see me through this situation. And God's power, this is wonderful, God's power will work on two fronts, using a military expression. You know, it will work on you and it will work on your circumstances simultaneously. Look at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 6 and possibly 7. Right. Now, let's have this in the Amplified. Thank you. Now, everybody, open your mouth and say this after me. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, he's telling you how we're going to do it, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Let me make a paraphrase here that will, this is a sharp two-edged sword, bring the intents on the hearts of the heart, you know, out. Do you know, when you fret and you worry, you are proud. How can that be? You're not depending on God. You're not submitted to God. If you're submitted to God, you have peace. Casting all your care upon him. You know why? If you don't cast it upon him, it means you are carrying your care yourself. Then you're not telling God that I can handle it, you can't. Now, you didn't say it like that, but that's what it translates to in practice. That's why these scriptures are there. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your words known unto God. Verse 7, stay in the Amplified. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of his soul, assured of his salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot, or whatsoever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over what? Your heart and your mind. So when you pray, you generate a spiritual force called peace. It's a spiritual power and force That peace goes to two things. It goes to the will, the mind, and the emotions. Then it goes out into the circumstances. So it starts working on the circumstances to cause all things to work together for your good. And at the same time, it's working on your mind, your will, and your emotions. So your mind, you are calm. You know what you just did? You just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You just humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. I find that expression extremely suggestive. Mighty. He's hidden there. I've been reading that scripture. The mighty. He said, you know what? God is strong enough to handle the situation. Submit to him. Now, let's backtrack here. Backtrack a little bit. Let's get back to prayer. Why is it that prayer will not work? Why is it that somebody can pray and the peace will not come as of the... What makes prayer work? Mercy and grace. What causes grace to work? Humble. So you can see the cycle. That is why a humble person will receive mercy and grace in sufficient measure that will cause his prayers to be effective and cast all the cares upon God. So if he's not able to do that, it says something wrong with the attitude. So he cannot submit to God. Are we getting it? This Bible was written by the most intelligent person in the universe. The whole thing is interconnected. Are you listening to me? How do I humble myself? By prayer. But what will make prayer work? Humility. So it starts as an attitude. Then it translates into an action of prayer that now causes you to cast all your cares upon him. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care. It's a continuous thought. So, to humble myself, I have to cast my care upon God. And the way I cast my care upon God is by prayer. But it's humility that will open the grace to make the prayer work so I can cast my care upon God, and then the peace of God will keep my heart and mind. So, you find yourself fretty, worried, check your attitude. And check your attitude. Oh, God. God. God, you're mighty God. You're more than enough. I trust you. I'm going to visit that thing I shared on Wednesday about the three Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what they did? They humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what they did. In the face of all of that, they were not going to bow to your idol. Submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to a fiery furnace, but I'm going to submit to the will of God. That's what humility is, isn't it? Okay, now they do that, you know, and they say, chill here. Do you understand? The God we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow. What did they do? They just cast all their care on God. Live or die, I trust God. That's what they did. They casted that care and worry about the fire and dying. They put all of it on God. Knowing that God is able. Knowing that God is, watch this. God is stronger than the fire. But don't stop there. God is stronger than death. When your heart is right with God, you will be able to handle the situations the way they should be handled. And these boys were just ordinary kids. They weren't kids, but, you know, young men. You know, and coming from destruction of Jerusalem, they were taken in as slaves. You know, their lives were hanging on a thread. They were under a volatile, temperamental leader who you cannot predict. Sound familiar? Who can say this today and do that tomorrow? That's Nebuchadnezzar for you. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, wake up in the morning. God kill all the blame. God kill all of them. You know? Yet these boys maneuvered inside that situation and ultimately became the rulers of Babylon. Give the Lord a clap offering. Humility. Daniel, he said, I will not defile myself. Submit to the will of God when you do feel like it. He said, I will fast. Give us water and vegetables. Humbled himself. He humbled his soul with fasting. Didn't he work? Worked. So we all need to learn this lesson. Do you understand? Let's go back to the root. Attitude. Everybody say attitude. Mommy's been sharing this recently. Attitude will tell me your altitude. How high you go will be determined by how low you are in your heart. The higher you want to go, the lower your heart has to get. Your heart must get to the same level of humility as Jesus. Remember, you know, Jesus was God. But he humbled himself. He became obedient to death. The scripture is very graphic. Even, not ordinary death though, the most disgraceful kind of death. Even the death of the cross. He thought equality with God was not something to be held onto. So he gave up his own right. His heart went to the lowest place the heart can go to. Coming from where he was coming from. Equal with God. He found himself as in fashion as a man. And he humbled himself. So we learn the same example. Yes, you're this, you're that, and all that. And then God now calls you and he wants you to do something for him. You know, you're ready to put your will down. Ready to put yourself down. So that the will of God can be done. And God said, now watch me perform. You do your part, I'll do my part. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh. Humility, folks. Humility. Yea, all of you. Be subject one to another. Younger submit to the elder. Yea, all of you. Younger and older. And elder. Be clothed. Let people see. People should, when you enter a place, people should see humility on you. Then you see that you're not the kind of person who is arrogant. You know, so I was, we went somewhere a few days ago. We traveled, you know, to Abidjan. We're coming back on the plane. And there was a particular person who was just a few seats in front of us. You know, the attitude was terrible. They didn't say anything, no. I was just looking at them like this. Later she changed, the person changed, you know. You know, he was looking at the air hostesses like this. You know, there's this air. You don't know who I am. You know, and the hostesses were nice people. They were very polite and everything, you know. You don't have to, you know, there's something, the thing is, it oozes out, you know. She did this, and later on, those ones were just nice to her, and then she just came down after a while. But you could see it, and it was going to provoke a reaction. Those ones didn't take the bait. Allah Ashanuel. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. On bended knees we come. Forgive my key. On bended knees we come.
With a humble heart we come, bowing down before your holy.
lifted holy hands.
Lifting holy hands to you.
Lord, we pledge our love anew. We worship you in spirit.
We worship you in spirit.
Hallelujah.
We worship you in truth.
Make our lives
a holy.
We praise unto you. On bended knees we come.
On bended knees we come. With a humble heart we come. Bowing down before your holy throne.
Lift those holy hands.
Lifting holy hands to you.
We worship you, Lord.
We worship you in spirit.
Hallelujah.
We worship you in truth.
Make our lives a
holy praise unto you.
On bended knees we come. Hallelujah.
On bended knees we come.
With a humble heart. Just before we pray, the Holy Spirit, I believe, said I should tell all of us, really. He said, I am dealing now with issues of the heart because of the glory that is imminent. The issues of the heart. It doesn't really matter what you say. It does matter to some degree, but I'm looking at your heart. Guard it with all diligence. Make sure your heart doesn't stray. Don't stray from truth, honesty, and don't stray from humility. Raise that hand. Dealing with issues of the heart. The Holy Spirit, that's the emphasis today. See, in previous ages and times, God did things like healing and prosperity. He did all of that to grab our attention that the Word of God is true. Now He's taking us into perfection and the glory of God. He has to deal with the heart. The emphasis now is on the heart. That's the emphasis of the Spirit of God now. He's more concerned about that than any other thing, because it's the foundation of everything. This big edifice we're building, it will not stand if the foundation of the heart is wrong. It will crumble. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me this morning, reminding me of the vital, foundational importance of an attitude of honesty and humility, not only cultivating it, but keeping it, making sure
It's always there. It's always right. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to prioritize. Help me to prioritize making sure that the attitude of my heart remains pure, honest, and humble, so I can attract mercy and grace in sufficient measure to make every other thing I know and every other thing I do effective. For without mercy and grace, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I confess, no matter how much I pray in tongues, no matter how much I do all I know, it will not be effective without sufficient mercy and grace, which will not come without sufficient honesty and humility. Oh God, help me to see this and guard it jealously in Jesus' name. Nikatolo masha, liprekato fideka mashalo, zekito fideka kramash, leprina tolo mashangitos, leprikatoros, lembragatolo masha, lambratos, lambrakamatolo matolo matu fridu frishi, tokro matolo matolo lambrudu frishi, zefrinia sukato, tokro kramatolo mashalo. Dokromatolas, Nekdolos, Tufrines, Jekikoros, Tolomatufrides, Tolomangaros, Tuskufrines, Lumbrdumos, Shaktufri, Tolomatufrinesk. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.
Worship you in spirit. We worship you.